The beautiful names of beloved prophet, the beautiful names of beloved prophet, the beautiful names of beloved prophet.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers, welcome to another episode of our program أسماء النبي الحمد لله in each episode we are delighting our hearts with the beautiful names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in this episode too we will hear more of those noble names. But before we begin, an important point that we have been highlighting in every episode so far, that alhamdulillah, a Muslim wants to gain barakah, blessings from the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt this is a good thing and we should yearn for this, but there are many names of the Prophet alayhi salam which the ulama have derived, and they are based on the characteristics that Allah Azza wa Jal has bestowed on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And those names, some of them are khas, specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as such, it's not allowed for an ummati to keep those names. So those names which are specific and khas to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not permitted and allowed for an ummati to keep those names. So the best thing to do is to consult with the ulama and ask them, am I allowed to keep this name? Can I name my child after this beautiful name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And whatever guidance and instruction you receive from the court of the ulama, inshallah, follow that. There is well-being in that. So to begin, the first name that we would like to mention in our episode is the name Al-Mubarak. And normally in Urdu, we just say Mubarak. And you probably heard this name before as well. Many people keep this name today as well. This is one name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Mubarak. Now what's the meaning? The ulama have said the meaning is Al-Azim al-Barakah, the one who has great blessings, who possesses great blessings. And another meaning that the ulama have given, Al-Barakatu lafzun jami'un li-anwa'il khayr, that this word Barakah means a compendium, jami' li-anwa'il khayr, of all types of goodness. So when we look at the dhat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and no doubt he is that blessed personality in whose that Allah Jalla wa Ala has placed all types of goodness. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed that in his that, and as such he is jami' li anwa'il khayr, that he is a compendium, an embodiment of all types of goodness as well. Subhanallah. And no doubt the word barakah itself has the good fortune of being named after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The name barakah, the word barakah, this is also blessed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alayhi salam has granted it honor as well. Now the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, the ulama, they would mention this name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their ash'ar, in their couplets. And let us listen to a couplet written by the Thana Khan of the Prophet alayhi salam, the poet who wrote during the lifetime of the Prophet alayhi salam in praise of him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one narration states, placed a minbar for him and asked him to praise him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, I'm referring to Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiyallahu anhu. He wrote so many poems on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his honor, his greatness, his excellence. And in one couplet he writes, صَلَّى الْإِلَهُ وَمَنْ يَحُفُّ بِالْعَرْشِهِ وَطَيِّبُونَ عَلَى مُبَارَكِ أَحْمَدِ, that Allah Azza wa Jal and the angels who are surrounding the arsh and the pure people, those who are pure, they are all sending salat upon Mubarak Ahmad. They are all sending salat upon that blessed that, that blessed personality who is Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal is sending salat, and the angels, they are asking Allah, they are supplicating to Allah to send mercy upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was a couplet of none other than Sayyidina Hassan bin Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala an, subhanallah. And how much blessings has Allah placed in the dhat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, there are so many accounts which inform us of this. For example, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, he has a book called Al-Khasa'is al-Kubra, And in this book, what he does is, he basically lists the khasa'is, the exclusive attributes of the Prophet ﷺ, those attributes which are distinct and they are particulars of the Prophet ﷺ. And in one of the chapters, he writes that the Prophet ﷺ was a means of blessings entering in so many things. That wherever the Prophet ﷺ went, he distributed blessings and things became blessed. Let us listen to some accounts regarding this. For example, once a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, he invited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a meal. He organized a meal. But the Prophet alaihi wasallam brought many Sahaba along with him. And this Sahabi, he didn't have much provisions, much food to offer in the first place. But due to the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that food became so abundant that dozens of people, so many Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, all ate to their full. Subhanallah, they were satiated. And in another narration, this is a famous narration as well that you may have heard, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, the Sahabi who narrated the most narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he spent a lot of time seeking knowledge from Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was from those fortunate blessed individuals known as the Ashab al-Suffa. There was a canopy in Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif, a raised platform, you could say, and that is where the Ashab al-Suffa would reside. They didn't have much. They were considered as paupers, meaning they were impoverished. They didn't have much provisions, but they had devoted their lives to seeking knowledge of Islam. They endowed themselves for this. And as such, the Prophet ﷺ would show great affection towards them. They had sacrificed everything and they had come and sat at the blessed feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would seek knowledge. Once what happened, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who was amongst them, he said that I was suffering from severe hunger. I hadn't ate food for days on end when a bowl of milk was presented in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And obviously, me being in the state I was, I wanted to drink it. But what happened is the Prophet ﷺ called me and said, go and call the Ashab al-Suffa. Now the Ashab al-Suffa was 70 Sahaba. And Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that in my heart I felt that if I call the Sahaba, and I have to because this is the command of Rasulullah ﷺ, how much are we all going to drink? There's only one little small bowl with milk in it. How much are we going to get? Will it even remove our hunger? Will it even satiate us? This was occurring in my heart, this thinking. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked me to call them, I called them. We all entered the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the bowl of milk was passed to the Ashab al-Suffa one by one. Every single one of them, they drank to their full. And then when the bowl was given to Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and he drank it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also drank it. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and said, the milk that was in the bowl was exactly the same amount that there was right in the beginning, meaning it hadn't decreased in the slightest. Even though 70 Sahaba had drank it, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank it as well. This is a miracle of Rasulullah alaihi wasallam, and this is an example of him placing barakah in things, in food and other things as well. Subhanallah. Another account is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they were on a journey, they were traveling, and there was a scarcity of water. The Sahaba were thirsty. You can imagine the scorching deserts of Arabia, the heat of Arabia. And they wanted water to drink, but it was only so less that you could not even dip your fingers in that water. That's how much water they possessed. They came to the court of the Prophet ﷺ, placed that water before him. He put his noble and blessed fingers, his hand into that water. And all of a sudden, the water began to gush forth from his fingers. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they say that we drank from that water, we saved that water, we gave our animals that water to drink, and it sufficed every single person. Meaning this was another miracle of Rasulullah and how he placed blessings in that water, and that water became abundant. Subhanallah. So the Prophet, his blessed dhat, his personality from head to toe was full of blessings. And wherever he went, he gave blessings to others as well. And that blessing was in the form of something becoming abundant. Sometimes the whole hay'ah, the whole form of something would change into a better form. For example, once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was informed of a well, and that well, the water was sour, it was bitter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his blessed saliva into that well, and all of a sudden that water became sweet, and alhamdulillah, that water which was sour moments ago, which was bitter and salty, that became sweet, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and others would drink it, and they would notice and they would experience that sweetness in the water as well. This was due to the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-baraka lafzun jami'un li anwa' al-khayr, and the Prophet alayhi salam was that blessed individual who was an embodiment, personification of all types of goodness, meaning in his dhat he had all types of goodness, and we just heard examples of this. So this is why one of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Al-Baraka. Now the next name that I would like to introduce, this name Allama Shami Salihi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in his book Subulul Huda wa Rashad, and that name is Al-Ghawth. Al-Ghawth, and the meaning as given by the author himself, Allama Shami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is an-nasir alladhi yustaghathu bihi fi ash-shada'id wal muhimmat wa yusta'anu bihi fi an-nawazil. Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called Ghawth because he is such a helper that when difficulty arrives, when difficulty descends, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sought for help, meaning they ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for help. And through him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, difficulties and hardships are alleviated and removed as well. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called Al-Ghawth. Now, this personality, pious predecessor, rahimahullah, Alama Shami Salihi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he's from over 4 centuries ago, and he wrote this in his book. Now, today, even when we refer to other people as Ghawth, for example, Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi alayhi, we call him Ghawth as well. And this is proven from the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Prophet alaihi wasallam was Ghawth, and this was one of his blessed names as well. And it shows that it's not wrong or impermissible to name someone or call someone Al-Ghawth as well. The next name that we'd like to introduce is Al-Ghafoor. Now Al-Ghafoor, as you know, is also a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the one who forgives, who grants forgiveness. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's called Al-Ghafoor as well. And Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, in Al-Riyadh al-Aniqa and in the book Subulul Huda wa Rashad, it's mentioned that Al-Ghafoor means the one who forgives, the one who pardons, the one who pardons completely, wherever the sin. And if it's permissible to forgive that wrongdoing, that shortcoming, then Al-Ghafoor is the one who will forgive it as well. So the Prophet alayhi salam, throughout his life, he showed examples of that, when he forgave even his staunchest enemies as well. And in the Tawrat Sharif, the Torah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been given this name, Al-Ghafoor. So it's mentioned, وَلَكِنْ يَعْفُو وَيَغْفِرْ. This is in the Torah, it says, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, however, is he who pardons and who forgives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will do that throughout his life. He will do that even on the Day of Judgment as well, and he will intercede for his Ummah, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of the name of Al-Ghafoor, and may the Prophet alayhi salam forgive us also and take us to paradise. Ameen. The next name that I would like to mention is Al-Mutawakkil. Al-Mutawakkil. This is derived from the word Tawakkul. And as for it being a name of the Prophet alayhi salam, it is that name which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself gave that name to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned in a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anta abdi wa rasuli, that you are my chosen slave and messenger. Sammaytuka al-mutawakkil, and I have named you al-mutawakkil. Now, mutawakkil is that individual who hands over, submits all his affairs to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is relying only upon Allah azza wa jal. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every affair, in every matter, was fully reliant upon the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had full tawakkul upon the dhat of Allah azza wa jal. This is why he is called al-mutawakkil. Now tawakkul itself, the meaning the ulama have given is to take up means, to adopt means, but not to rely on those means, instead to rely upon the creator of those means, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't mean you don't adopt any means. This is a world of means. Alamul asbab. So one person, he cannot say, I'm going to leave my house door open, relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one will come and steal from my house. This is not sensible. We have to use common sense. The meaning given by the ulama for tawakkul is that you adopt the means and you leave the result up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do the best you can. You take precautionary measures. You do what you have to do. But leave the outcome and the result to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have full belief that He will protect you, He will preserve you, He will grant you success. This is the meaning of tawakkul. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mutawakkil. In one hadith, for example, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam was asked, shall I tie my camel or shall I just let it free? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tie your camel and then have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anything we do in life, for example, we seek livelihood, we earn halal risk, we strive for other things in life. These are all causes, these are all means that Allah jalla wa ala has placed on the earth for humans. And we have to adopt these. Nobody is going to wake up and have everything there for himself. He has to strive for this. He has to work hard. So this is the meaning of tawakkul. And then when we strive, when we work hard, we leave the results to Allah Azza wa Jal, and He will not waste the efforts of His people. He is the one who grants blessings and sustenance as well. May Allah Jalla wa Ala, for the sake of the Prophet alayhi salam, make us from the mutawakkilin as well. Ameen. The next thing I would like to mention is ar-raghib. Ar-raghib. Now, the meaning of raghib is al-iradatu wal-hirsu ala shay. When someone intends something and is eager to do it or obtain it. And the reason why the Prophet ﷺ is called a raghib, because he always intends and is eager to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet ﷺ is called a raghib. The other reason he is called a raghib is because he is always inclined to having his ummah forgiven. And he had raghba towards his ummah being forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why he is called Ar-Raghib. Another name that I would like to introduce, Al-Mudhakkir. And this means the preacher, the one who counsels others, the one who propagates, and the one who advises as well. And because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always advised people, gave them good counsel, he preached to them, propagated the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave the best advice, he is called Mudhakkir. And this is mentioned in the Quran as well. فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. That, oh beloved, advise, because you are an advisor. Meaning propagate, you are a propagator. Subhanallah. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the one who conveyed and propagated the ahkamat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave the most beautiful advice as well. This is why he is known as Al-Mudhakkir. And the last name that I'd like to mention in this episode before we complete the episode is Zalif. Za Lam Fa. The Za has a Fatha on it, the Lam has a Kasra and Fa at the end. Zalif. Now, Zalif means that individual who is greater than others or who precedes others. And because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is greater and he precedes all others, meaning in terms of rank, in terms of status, he is greater than all others. He is before all others. This is why he is called Zalif. He is the greatest Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan Ali Rahmah has an entire book on this, proving this. Tajalli al-yaqeen li-anna nabiyyana Sayyidul Mursaleen. And in this, he so beautifully explains how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all the messengers and the prophets as well. That they are all his Ummatis. He is Nabiul Anbiya. He is a prophet to the other Anbiya alayhi salam as well. And he so beautifully does this. Even though this is a topic that is very sensitive, meaning when someone speaks about the Anbiya alayhi salam and their ranks, he has to maintain adab. And Allah Hazrat Ali Rahmat does so beautifully in this book, Tajalli al-Yaqeen. So one should read it and study it with the ulama. Now Zalif, another meaning of Zalif is Al-Qarib, meaning the one who is close. And again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called Zalif because he is closer than everyone else to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning in comparison to everyone else, he is the closest to Allah azza wa jal. And as we know from the hadith that he is Habibullah, he is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in one hadith in Mustadrak, we find that Allah jalla wa ala said while addressing Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, when his repentance was accepted in the world, that لولا محمد لما خلقتك. If it wasn't for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would not have created you, O Adam alayhi salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beloved of Allah, and he's the closest to Allah azza wa jal. And this is why he is referred to as Zalif. One beautiful name of the Prophet alayhi salam is Zalif. So alhamdulillah, we've covered numerous names of the Prophet alayhi salam in this episode as well. Inshallah, we'll stop there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the blessings of the names of our Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, enable us to learn more about them, and to keep our children's name upon the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after consulting with the ulama. Ameen, bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The beautiful names of beloved Prophet, the beautiful names of beloved Prophet, the beautiful names of beloved Prophet.